feel like praising Him. Well, I feel like praising Him. Oh, we'll praise Him in the morning, praise Him all day long. I feel like praising Him. Yes, I feel like praising Him.
Praising Jesus.
Church, I feel like praising Him. Praise the Lord while you have this chance.
Oh, why don't you praise the Lord while you have this chance?
Yes, we do. Somebody say praise the Lord. Well, isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord on Saturday night? Had a good time here Wednesday night, Brother Terry. You just done a good job, buddy. We appreciate you, buddy. God bless you. Certainly appreciate the word of the Lord. Looking forward to what God has for us tonight. I know it's going to be something good. He's never given us anything bad, has He? Why don't you turn around? You may have to walk around a little bit, but turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord, tell them you're glad to see them in church on Saturday night. What a privilege it is. Play some more of that, brethren, if you will. Yes, I feel like praising Him. Well, I feel like praising Him. Oh, I feel like praising Him. The Lord. You can be seated for just a few minutes tonight while we look at our prayer requests. I knew his name and just forgot it that quick. No, Brother Jim Dooley. Brother Jim Dooley from Canada. He and Sister Dooley, they're still here. And we're just so glad to have them folks with us tonight. They're going to give them a nice hand, if you will. Praise the Lord. Brother Jim's going to come in a minute and take us to the Lord to prayer on behalf of all these prayer requests. Brother Bob Zacharich has been taken to the hospital. He is in serious condition, bleeding from the brain. Brother Bob has diabetes and is battling that also. So they're asking that we would remember that prayer request tonight. Sister Evelyn Farrellow, she is a believer from Carmax in Yukon Territory. She is now in the hospital in Vancouver, British Columbia, after 2 years of chemotherapy treatments following an operation for colon cancer. She has only one kidney working now, and the doctors say that her kidney is infected. They say that her blood and bladder is also infected. The sister has suffered for years, needs a touch from the Lord to give her faith to receive her healing. God bless you all, Brother Willie McGovern sends that in, so let's remember that need tonight. Danner Ward in serious complications after having her baby. She asked that the doctors be able to identify the source of the bleeding in her gastrointestinal tract. And for her healing and recovery. From Sister Jo Hansen sends that in, so we certainly want to remember that need tonight. Brother John McCafferty's co-worker, Ingrid, in a hunting accident, may lose his right eye. They're asking that we would remember that prayer request tonight. Also want to pray for Sister Sarah Stahl. The doctors discovered a tumor in her brain. They're having another MRI, and then they plan to have two surgeries performed, one to relieve the fluid in the front and another to remove the tumor in the back of her brain. They're asking that we would remember that prayer request. Also want to thank the Lord that they discovered it in time and dealing with it quickly. May the Lord grant a healing touch to our sister and guide the surgeon's hand as they do these surgeries. And we just want to commit that to the Lord. Brother Chris Moritz sends that in, so let's remember that need tonight as we pray. Brother Gary sends this in to please pray for a Dawn Carpenter suffering from cancer, very, very sick in body, needs healing from the Lord. Let's remember that. Sister Tanya Van Logrenberg said, would you please ask the church to pray for a brother in South Africa that is needing God's help in a situation that he has to face this coming Wednesday? So they're asking if we would remember that need tonight. Please pray for my niece and nephew, Cheyenne and Clinton Sumner. God knows all about it. Thank you, and may God bless Sister Linda Crest sends that in, so we want to remember that need tonight as we pray. Brother Krause wants us to pray for Sister Laura Krause having knee and lower back pain, so let's remember that need tonight. All the unspoken prayer requests, I know there's many needs among us tonight. We're serving a prayer-answering God. A lot of folks on the highways, traveling different places, doing different things. So let's remember them, Brother Donnie in Arizona. Let's pray for the meetings there. And just pray that the Lord would just be mindful of this group here tonight. We are a needy people, but we're serving an all-sufficient God. Do you believe that with all your heart? Somebody say praise the Lord. Could we stand tonight? Brother Jim, if you would come tonight, take us to the Lord in prayer. Certainly appreciate our brother. Where is he at? Is Brother Jim here? There he comes right there. God bless Brother Jim Dooley. Give him a nice hand as he comes tonight. Praise the Lord. Certainly appreciate you, buddy. God bless you, buddy.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Could we just sing a little chorus? Bring all your needs to the altar. Amen. Hallelujah. Bring all your needs to the altar.
Yes, amen.
Bring all your needs to the Lord. He is more willing and needs to the Lord. One more time, please. All your needs to the altar. Bring all your needs. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are so happy that we can approach the throne of grace tonight, Lord, with our needs, Lord Jesus. Lord, as the prophet of God has told us in this age, Lord, how you are so much more willing to meet our needs, Lord, than we are even to ask, Lord. Lord Jesus, as we lay our hands upon each of these needs tonight, O God, we ask you, Lord, by your divine presence, O God, to meet each and every need, Lord. Lord, we know that by your stripes we are healed, Lord. Lord, you delivered us back there on Calvary, O God. You set us free, Lord Jesus. You washed us in the blood of the Lamb, Lord Jesus. Lord, you healed our thoughts, Lord, our desires. You gave us a way, Lord, that's a way that was unknown to man, O God, but you made a way for us, Lord Jesus. Father, you're the way maker, Lord Jesus. We thank you tonight, O God. Lord, as we lay our hands upon each need, Lord, we commit each need, each person that's requested in each need. Lord, by your divine grace, we lay each one before you tonight, O God, asking you to come and touch each one now. We ask you also, Lord, to be with the remainder of our service, Lord, the ministering of your word. Lord, our brother Donnie, Lord, that's away preaching. We ask you to be with him also this weekend, Lord, oh God. And Lord, have your way in those meetings, Lord. And our own brother Chris Moritz, Lord, that's away ministering this weekend. We ask you to touch him, oh God. Lord, lay some burden up on his heart for all the people there where he's ministering, oh God. Bless the congregation here tonight, we ask now. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Thank you, Brother Ken. God bless you, man. Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. You give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting tonight with us in the service, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All of our streamers, we say God bless them tonight. Let's give them a nice hand, if you will. Praise the Lord. Let's sing a little song tonight. Give me Jesus. Is that your desire to have him in your life tonight as the Lord of your life? Not just your Savior. Brother Branham said a lot of people want him as a Savior, but they don't want him as Lord. I want him as Lord of my life. How about you tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's just give him a real good hand clap of praise tonight if you love him. In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, just give me Jesus. Oh, give me Jesus. Oh, give me Jesus.
Give me Jesus. Just
Amen. Let's sing a little bit of that chorus just before we change the order of the service. Feel like running my last mile home. We've not got a bunch of stragglers here. We've not got a bunch of people that's got armor all over their backside. But we're warriors. We're mighty warriors in Satan's Eden. Aren't you glad that God had enough confidence in a group of people? Not the person himself, but his indwelling in that person. He had enough confidence to put you right here in the middle of hell. To put you right here in the middle of Satan's Eden. You are an overcomer. Look at somebody and say, you are an overcomer. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise if you love Him. Sing me a verse of it, buddy. When I come to the end of my journey.
When I come to the end of my journey. I live my lifetime for this day long.
Oh, yes.
Well, I just saw the light and I'm getting a little
bit anxious.
I started out walking, but I'm running my last mile home.
Say it, buddy.
Yes, I started out walking, but I'm running my last mile home.
So ring the bell, go the horn, shout hallelujah. Jordan, roll on back, get me through.
You're just singing so good tonight. God bless you. You can be seated. Brother Harry's going to give us a song tonight. We just appreciate him so much. Give him a nice hand as he gets ready to sing for you.
What was I singing? What was I singing? Praise the Lord. As you can tell, our computer and our board's messed up. So, unfortunately, I've got a bad memory anymore for some reason. Sister Cindy,
told me a few weeks ago she wanted us to sing a song. I don't think she's here, but we're going to try this chorus. We've sung it before. It's the Kid G. How many has needs? How many believes the need meter is here? All right, if you know this, you help me.
You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. I worship you, 'cause I know that you are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you, Lord. I worship you. You are here, and you're healing every heart. I worship you. I worship you, 'cause I know you are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. You are here, moving in our midst. Oh, I worship you. I worship you. You are here, and you're moving in our midst.
Miracle worker,
darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Is that what he is to you? Amen. I believe he's still that right here tonight. I believe he's still a healer. I believe he's still a savior. I believe everything his word said he would do, he's still doing right here today. I heard Brother Branham preaching today, and he said this. He said, if you don't believe he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, he said, well, you need to realize that he's still a healer. He said, now you're going to ask why or how can you say he's still a healer and opens the eyes of the blind. He said, because this Bible I'm holding up in front of you, he said, I've had people walk up to me blind. And he said, that God standing right here on the platform, heal them. And he said, they turn right around in 5 minutes time and read that Bible. 5 minutes before they were blind, but Jesus passed by, opened their blinded eyes, and they stood right there on the platform witnessing the power of his resurrection. I'll tell you, you say, Brother Andrew, I wasn't naturally blind, or I didn't have an issue in my body, but we stand here tonight in our right minds in the middle of Satan's Eden, and we've got a desire to be here, and there's a push in our heart to serve the Lord. I'll tell you, he's a miracle worker. Amen. Amen. I think sometimes we look for too many big miracles and overlook the little miracles. Do you love him tonight? Amen. God richly bless you. If you have your Bibles, we'll go right on in the Word tonight. We'll invite you to two places in the Scriptures, Psalms chapter 65, Psalms chapter 65 and verse 4, and then also we'll like to read in Hebrews chapter 4. We want to greet you this evening in the name of the Lord. We certainly count it an honor and a privilege to be here this evening and to have this privilege to speak to you once again. And we say God bless you to everyone here, and I sure appreciate Brother Donnie and his confidence to stand here while he's away. And we just pray the Lord is blessing the meetings there. And we just believe the Lord is going to do something here. Now, a brother called me last night and he said, Brother Terry told on you Wednesday night. Well, let me just give you a key word to that story, okay? Its name is David Seiler. So we'll just leave it right there, okay? But we didn't come to straighten nothing out. We just come to lay on top of what was laid here Wednesday and pray when we get done, something else can be laid on it Wednesday if we're not all on the other side. Amen. So we sure do appreciate Brother Terry. God bless you. And we just want to look here in Psalms chapter 65 and verse number 4. Psalm 65 and verse number 4. The Bible says, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. And David says, we shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest. Brother Branham says, that right there is predestination. Amen. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. A very, very familiar scripture. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. The Bible says, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Do we believe that tonight? Amen. And it's piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow. Notice this, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Skip down to verse 14. Seeing then that we have, let's say that together, a great high priest. We have a great high priest. Paul didn't say we had a great high priest or we will have a great high priest, but we have one right now. Notice that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Notice here, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. I would say that there's probably a lot of people could say we're in a time of need. Amen. Let's just bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you tonight, dear God. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. Lord, as Paul has told us here, that we would obtain mercy, but Lord, we would find grace. Lord, we don't deserve to be here. We don't deserve the things that you've given us, Lord. But Father, we just want to take this opportunity to say thank you, Lord. Thank you for saving our souls. Thank you for revealing this message to our hearts. Lord, thank you for opening our blinded eyes of spiritual, Lord. Lord, thank you for straightening us out, Lord. Thank you for bringing us out of confusion. Lord, if we would start right now until this time tomorrow night, Lord, we can never thank you enough for everything that you've done for every one of us. So, Lord, we just pray that you would hear our hearts tonight, dear God. Lord, you see each and every one that is here. Lord, you see the needs. Lord, I pray that your mercy and grace would come. I pray that you would anoint us afresh tonight. Heal the sick, Lord. Save the lost, Father. Lord, baptize with the Holy Ghost and fire. And Lord, may lives be touched, dear God. May hearts be changed, Lord. And may when we would leave this place, dear God, may we be able to say, Lord, do not our hearts burn within us as you come and talk to us along the way. And Father, if whatever would be accomplished in this service tonight, Lord, we'll be sure to give you all the praise. We'll be sure to give you all the honor and all the glory. For we ask these things in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. And all the believers said, amen. Amen. God bless you this evening. You may be seated. Amen. You love the Lord. Good to see you. God bless you. I want to speak to you here for a few moments tonight by the help of the Lord, and we just trust that we can just all jump right in and receive something from the Lord tonight. But if I would give this thought a title tonight, I would like to speak to you upon divine approach produces divine results. Divine approach produces divine results. I thank the Lord that we've got a divine message. Amen. And I thank the Lord that he's given us a divine revelation. Now, in the book of Romans chapter 8 verse 26, Paul says, amen, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with the groanings which cannot be uttered. So one thing I like about this here is God, he hears our hearts. Amen. He hears the very depths. He hears the very desires. Amen. He hears the things that sometimes we can't even put into words. The Lord hears those things. You know, every time I read that, I think of the story that Brother Branham tells us about the little girl. He said that preacher was walking down the aisle. He was headed to the pulpit. He said he passed by this little girl, and she was standing there saying A, B, C, D. He said he stopped, and he thought, what in the world is she saying her ABCs to the Lord? He said then he went up there and preached his message, and he went back to his seat. And he said on his way back to his seat, she was still repeating her ABCs. So the preacher stops, and he said, now, little girl, why are you repeating your ABCs to the Lord? And she said, well, she said, I don't know how to pray. She said, I don't know how to put the words together. She said, but I do know that the Lord is so big and the Lord is so great that he can take these letters and he can make words out of those letters. And I'm glad to know tonight that sometimes we don't have the words. We don't have the right scriptures in our mind, or we don't know the right way to approach things. But thanks be to God tonight that the Spirit of the Lord is still a discerner, and the Spirit of the Lord is still a searcher of the hearts. And Paul goes on to say, he searcheth the hearts and knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, how many believes that our approach to God still matters? Amen. Our approach to God still matters. And we understand that Brother Bram tells us there's a right approach. He said, then there is a wrong approach in our approach. He said, now we're not going to come the wrong approach and get the right results. Neither are we going to come the right approach and get the wrong results. In the message, the approach to God, he said, notice the approach to God. God has a way of approach. If you're going to visit a king, he said, there's a way you approach a king. He said, if a boy is going to approach a young lady, he said, to get acquainted with her, there's a certain approach. You can't just come up and say, hey there, I'd like to meet you, and shake your hand. He said, she isn't very much of a lady. She'll let you know right quick where to get on and where to get off. Said, there's a certain way that you want to approach it. He said, so if you come with respects and so forth, he said, then you're going to receive what you're coming to receive. Now, and there's a way to approach all things. So if there's a way to approach a king, if there's a way to approach a girl, if there's a way to approach a judge, then there's got to be a way to approach God. So we see that God is a holy God. God is a righteous God. We understand, amen, that man will never be able to get an audience with God unless he comes God's provided way. See, you've got to humble yourself, amen, and come the way that God has provided for you to come. He said in a court, if you want to go up and talk to the judge, you don't just say, well, hey, judge, I want to talk to you. He said, somebody's going to throw you out of the courtroom. See, he said, that's disorderly conduct. He said, there's a way you have to approach the judge. Amen. I believe tonight we're not approaching, amen, a Supreme Court judge. I don't believe we're approaching, amen, a county judge. But I believe tonight we're approaching the judge of judges. I believe we're approaching the divine judge. Amen. And his judgment and his ruling is the only ruling that will produce healing, that will produce victory, that will produce salvation. Rabbi said, see, you've got to come the right way. Now, when one time man thought angelic beings, he said, they come before the presence of his majesty. He said, the great king of heaven. He said, perhaps maybe they approached him in another way. He said, but since sin, amen, separated the relationship, he said, the relationship has been broken, but the relationship must come back together. So we understand tonight that we, amen, are not as the angels. We are redeemed, and angels have never been redeemed. See, that's why we receive hope. Glory. That's why we get a whole lot more out of worshiping him than the angels will ever get, because the angels have never been down sin alley. The angels have never been drunk. The angels have never been liars. Amen. They've never experienced the power of the divine judge and the channel of redemption. Amen. But we have experienced it, and that's why we come approaching him with reverence and respect and thanksgiving, realizing if it had not been for him, we would not be here tonight. See, I think sometimes people get so saved that they forget where they come from. Amen. They get so revelated, they forget where God brought them from. Amen. But if you've ever been on the ash heap of life, if you've ever been down where you felt like you had no hope, when you felt like you was on the Colgate dump, and then all of a sudden the Supreme God came down to your level to raise you to his level, brother, it'll make a Baptist shout. Amen. To realize the power of redemption from the great judging self. Oh, there's no way that we can ever lose our praise. There's no way we can ever lose our adoration. There's no way we can ever lose our worship. We have been redeemed. You see, in Psalms chapter 65 and verse 4, David the psalmist, he is going to pack that verse 4, amen, full of gold nuggets. When Brother Branham preached, amen, the approach to God, he said, I would love to have all night right here on Psalm 65 verse 4. He said, because the Holy Ghost, amen, would dig down in those scriptures and would bring golden nuggets out of those scriptures. See, we're not feeding tonight upon the natural food of a man. We're feeding upon spiritual food tonight. See, a seventh angel took one scripture and said, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. See, whether you got $5 or $500 or $500 million, just to be in the blessings of the Shekinah glory of Almighty God, you are a blessed man, you are a blessed woman, you are a blessed young person. Hey, friends, I'll tell you tonight, we are blessed people to be under the blessing of this message. Can you say amen? We are a blessed people, amen, to be under this message. See, so that word choose, it means to elect. It means to decide. Amen. It means to be selected for. That word approach, it means to come near. It means to enter into. So Christ is not just wanting to come near you, and he's not just wanting you to come near him, but Christ desires that you would enter him and he would enter you. Oh, friends, how many can say tonight, like Paul said, I die daily, amen, that Christ, the Word, may live inside of my body. It's a blessing to know tonight that we that was born in sin, shape, and iniquity, come in this world speaking lies, was estranged from God from our mother's womb, yet he loved us enough. He ordained us and he placed something inside of our soul that we could sit here tonight and know that we're not here by power and we're not here by might and we're not here by our own abilities, but we're here by the supreme authority of Almighty God that said, well, nobody will stand for you. I'll stand for you when nobody will choose you. I'll choose you when nobody will bless you. I'll bless you when nobody will anoint you. I'll anoint you for the job that I've chosen you to do. Listen, friends, you've not been called to stand on the outside of this message. You've been called to stand right under the spout where the glory of Almighty God comes out and the Spirit of God changes our lives in this presence. We are blessed. We are chosen. We are elected. We are ordained to be where we're at tonight. Amen. I'll tell you, I got a whole new meaning to that song. Not by power. I was over in Africa a few days ago, and there was a song leader got up, man. He got to singing, not by might, not by power. He was running around holding up his arms. He was saying, look here, look here. Not by your might, not by your power. He stopped. He said, y'all's too quiet. He said, you done forgot. You didn't get here on your own. Brother, I'll tell you, something spoke up inside of my heart to realize if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, I'd be out on a bar stool somewhere. Oh, don't sit there and look so spiritual. If it wasn't for Jesus Christ, you wouldn't be here tonight. But because he selected you and he decided for you, he said, I want that one and that one and that one to stand when I'm pouring out the greatest revelation that has ever been poured out. I want them to receive it. I want them to feel the stimulation of the revelation of Almighty God. Oh, we are a chosen, hallelujah, we are a chosen generation, amen, we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, we are a peculiar people, that we should show forth the praises of him who hath called us. See, of him who hath called you. Now, he didn't just call you, but he called you out of darkness, Brother Terry, into his marvelous light. I think when that word chosen means, it means to be picked out. Do you realize without this message, you had no way of getting out of darkness? Oh, brother, do you realize without this message, we had no way to get out of darkness? This message didn't give us a way out. This message brought us out. This message picked us up, just as Israel was picked up on the wings of the eagle and was carried back in her provided place. This message picked us up, brother, and began to soar us into Revelation 10, soar us into Luke 17:30, soar us into Malachi chapter 4. And we sit here tonight, not staggering in darkness, but walking in victory. Yes, sir. The Messiah has called an elected group of people. He has anointed you. He has exalted you. Listen, the definition of the word chosen there means to be called by the Messiah and to be exalted to an office, to the most highest office that's inconceivable of men. Oh, brother, let me tell you the reason why I shout. Let me tell you the reason why I rejoice. It's because I'm in a place tonight that men have longed to get to. They've longed to get in schools and learn how to feel these things that you're feeling. They've longed to get in and learn religion, and they've never one time felt it. But by an old-fashioned baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire and the quickening power of revelation coming across the seed inside of your soul, you have gone to places that doctors of divinity have never went by the power of election. We have been called. We have been chosen. Peter goes on to say, which in times past we were not a people, amen, but are now the people of God, which have not obtained mercy, but now we have obtained mercy. See, a people that is chosen to be here. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 9, Jesus says, I know thy works and thy tribulation and thy poverty. I think we're going to have some church here. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Notice this. He said there were people that was actually saying they were Jews. He said they were neither Jews by descent. They were neither Jews by religion. He said they were saying they were Jews because they were under the spirit of that false vine. He said they had already been sealed into that false church. He said so they were claiming what they could claim that would try to help them. Oh, he said now they were not of the true church. They were of the false church because God said they were of the synagogue of Satan. Now, the word for synagogue is not the same word we use for the church. In the Bible, church means the called out ones or the summoned ones. The psalmist said the elected people that is blessed to be chosen and to be called to approach unto thee. See, but the meaning of synagogue is an assembling or a gathering. This can be a good thing or it can be a bad thing, but in this case, they were assembling for the wrong purpose. So they were drawn to something, but they didn't know what they were drawn to. See, that's why Abraham said Judas didn't become the son of perdition. He was born the son of perdition. Judas came from hell and he went back to hell. He said, but Jesus, the Son of God, came from God and will return back to God. Oh, come on, church. I'll tell you why I feel so good tonight is when I hear a prophet say there is a church world that is marching in the tribulation. He said, but in the last days, he would pour out some eye salve that would wash our eyes and would let us see where we come from, would let us see where we are at, would let us see where we're going. Little bride, we're not going to the tribulation. We're going to the rapture. This is not a synagogue. This is a tabernacle. Hey. This is not a synagogue. This is a tabernacle tonight where the living God dwells among living people. Oh, I believe tonight, as Isaiah said, he said, behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. See, there's two gatherings going on. There's a gathering under Christ. There's a gathering under the Antichrist. Is that okay? There's a gathering under himself. There's a gathering under Lucifer. But I want the devil to know he already missed his chance to get me. Is there anybody else here that the devil has already lost his chance to gather you into his bride? Come on. He's lost his chance. As a matter of fact, he didn't have a chance. He never had a chance because there was a seed on the inside of your soul that didn't come from your mama. It didn't come from your daddy, but it came from Jesus Christ. You see, we are being gathered. Brabham said, notice what Isaiah said. He said, whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Let me just go ahead and give you a warning, devil. If you're trying to gather against this message, you're going to fall. If you're trying to gather against this bride, you're going to fall. Hey, sometimes I think the devil would learn his lesson, don't you? He's already fallen at the feet of the messenger. He's going to fall at the feet of the message. Come on, church. Let's have church. This message ain't a bunch of books. This message ain't about a bunch of tapes. This message is the Word made flesh. This message is, I'm looking at the message tonight. Listen, friends, that maniac ran up to him in Portland, Oregon. Brother Bram called it a perfect showdown. He said, the devil come running up there, tabernacled in that man. Isn't that something? The devil was tabernacled in his advocate, and Jesus Christ was tabernacled in his. Oh, I feel like preaching right now. I feel like Brother Bram said when he walked up there in the tombs of Gadara that day, and the devil over there in Legion came running up to him. Brother said he looked right in his eyes and said, how did you get in there? He said he saw those eyes before. He said it was a mystery to the devil how that God got in Jesus. Oh, brother, if you think that's a mystery, it's a mystery to the devil tonight how that God got in a drunk, how that God got in a religious person, how that, oh, come on, somebody, how that God got in a backslider. I don't know how he done it, but Brother Joel, I'm so glad to know that he done it. I don't know why he loved me, but I'm so glad that he loved me. I don't know why he died for me, but I'm so glad he did it. You see, whatever comes against this chosen church is going to fall at the feet of the Word. You see, they think they're going to gather together and they think they're going to prevail, but there's no such power as revelation, and revelation is the prevailing power. So the thing is, amen, is that God is going to deal with the true vine in a rapture. But he's going to deal with the false vine in destruction. Now, I'll tell you, sometime Brother Branham shows us here. Notice that the seventh angel is going to show us something very basic, but it's something that's going to be very powerful. He's going to show the approach to God is more than just going to church. See, that was the established approach to God, was join a church, put your name on the roll, pay your tithes, do your holy fathers and mother so-and-sos or whatever, amen, and you're a part of the church. But Brother said, that's the spirit that's gathering the people for a tribulation. He said, but the spirit of God is gathering the people for the bride. Paul said in Ephesians that he will gather all things in Christ unto himself. So he's going to show that we're not going to approach God through education. Are you with me? We're not going to approach God through psychology, but we've got to approach God through the spirit and the truth. See, that's why people couldn't receive those things, is because they could not humble themselves to the simplicity of the Bible. Now, I hope it's okay to preach for a minute. They cannot humble themselves and say the prophet of God is right and my idea is wrong. Now, you see, that causes a hindrance in someone's faith. Now, that devil didn't die. That devil's still around the ranks of our own message today. Come on, friends. Where preachers get up and say, well, Brother Bram said it this way, but let me tell you what he meant. Or Brother Bram said it this. No, let's say what a prophet said and watch the same God that performed arise and shine upon his people and perform once again. See, they can't humble themselves to say it's spirit and it's truth. Now, you realize that in John chapter 4, verse 22, he said, ye shall worship, ye know not what you worship. So they're worshiping, but they don't even know what they're worshiping. See, what we know, what we worship for salvation is of the Jews. But Jesus said, the hour is come and now is when the true worshipers. See, he didn't put it in the future. Amen. Can I have some liberty tonight? He didn't put it in the future. He didn't put it in the past, but he's speaking to a seed. He's speaking to a seed that was in adultery, that was in a terrible condition. Do you realize what she done? She had a seed inside of her soul, and the Bible said she began to remember. Now, she began to remember what her fathers told her. It never said that her fathers planted the seed. It said that she remembered what they said, that one day the Messiah is going to come, and when he comes, he'll do these things. Do you realize what happened? She began to remember the word, and by remembering the word, it produced a refreshing. Oh God. See, remembering produces a refreshing. Here's a woman that's all burnt out with church. She's all burnt out with society. She's in a terrible condition, living like a dog, living any kind of old life. But when she come in the presence of the word, she remembered. Oh, let me tell you something, not friends. I believe in all the years that you've been serving God, all the years you've been going to church, all the years you've been listening to tapes, surely to goodness something has been planted by the spoken word on the inside of your soul, that no matter what anybody else says, just by remembering what God said about his own word will produce a refreshing. Oh, glory. I'm trying to behave. I don't know how much longer I'm going to be able to. Brother Branham didn't put divine healing in the scriptures. He remembered what the scriptures said about divine healing, and by remembering what God said, produced a healing campaign. Come on. Brother Bram didn't place Malachi 4 in there. He remembered what the spirit of prophecy said to Malachi, and by remembering it, it produced a refreshing. So this woman began to remember, I'm in the right place. I know this man is coming. He's sure to be here. He said, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Brother said, see, they go to church. He said, but they don't know no more about God by going. He said they go, but they don't enter in. Now get mad at me if you want to, but just coming to church ain't going to get you in a rapture. Just saying Brother Donnie is your pastor is not going to get you in a rapture. It's going to take a quickening of the Spirit of God to quicken something on the inside of your soul that will produce a transformation inside of your body. It's going to take more than just hearing tapes. It's going to take more than just going to meetings. It's going to have to take you stepping in the presence of God and saying it like Mary said, be it unto me, Lord, according to thy word. Yes, sir. When one, Brother Bram said, see, he said, how can you say they know so much about God when they go to church on Christmas and they put a Santa Claus and a bunny at the altar? He said, but when one, notice this, he said they got it from the pagans and made it a part of their church doctrine. Now, let me just stop here and preach. You can't bring from Pentecost into this message and mix it. If what they had didn't produce a rapture, then mixing it with this is not going to produce a rapture. He said, what it's going to take, it's going to take one who will turn to the Lord. How many says, Lord, I want to turn to you? It will take one that will turn to the Lord. And he said, then the Holy Ghost will come into that vessel and they will cease from all such things. He said, then they begin to really live. Then they begin to love God. Then they begin to worship him. You see, Brother Bram emphasizes so strong on the approach to God because he knew what it was like to be unaware of the approach to God. That's why he said, if you've never had a sick day, you'd never appreciate health. He said, if you'd never been sick, you'd never appreciate healing. See, it's a law of contrast. So a prophet was not preaching. Is this okay? But man was not preaching this to fill the church with theology. He was preaching from his heart. He knew what it was like not to know how to approach God. See, to be unaware is to be in darkness, but to be aware is to be in the light. See, what did Peter say? He has chosen us. He has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Yes, sir. Brother said, so when you come in this light, he said, don't stand in the light, but walk in the light. He said, as you start walking in the light, he said, the winds of the Spirit will start following you. Yes, sir. When a man walks in the light, he said, then the winds follow. Do you realize that Moses walked in the light of God? Do you realize Moses was walking in the light of God when he come to the Red Sea? But he said Moses knew, he said he knew God was going to take care of him. He said he just didn't know how he was going to do it. He said, but he kept on walking in the light. He said, if you'll walk in the light, he'll produce the wind. He said, when Moses got down there, Moses walked to the Red Sea, obeyed the command of the Lord, and when he got to the Red Sea, the wind began to blow the Red Sea back, and God's promised children walked across on dry ground. But I said, that's what I'm trying to get you to see. He said, if you'll just walk in the light, he said, the wind of the Spirit will blow away every filthy habit. Oh, brother, that's a powerful thing right there. Just obey the word and walk in the light, and the Spirit, the wind of the Spirit, will blow sin out of your life. What did Brother say about the Lake Michigan up there jumping? He said there wasn't one more ounce of water in that lake than was in it when he got there. He said, but when the wind began to blow, he said the wind began to blow, and the wind blowed the trash out of the water. He said, yes, sir, that's the trouble with the church today. You're so loaded down, you can't walk in the light. You got too many things on you. You got too much hanging around. Yes, sir, but Paul said, let us lay aside every weight that we might walk the light, that we might run the race that is set before us. See, walk in the light like this. He said, did you ever walk light-footed? He said, did you ever walk light-footed? He said, remember the night I was... Can I just read this to you? He said, I remember the night I was back when I first got saved. I went back in a little old cold shed. He said, I never did pray in my life. I was going to write Jesus a letter and tack it on a tree so out in the woods he could find it. I didn't know how to pray. So he's telling us he didn't know the approach to God. But notice this, he was willing to admit... We're going somewhere if you stay awake with me. He's willing to admit, I don't know, so you come and show me. See, I was willing. He said, I didn't know how to pray, but I thought I'll just get down here. I'm unworthy. I'm a dirty guy. I'm low down. I don't know nothing. He said, but I know he's a man, and if he's a man, he'll talk like a man. He said, I said, Mr. Jesus, will you come here just a minute? I want to talk to you. He said, I didn't know the approach, but he came anyways. He didn't know how to approach him, but he heard him. Listen, friends, the Spirit searcheth out our hearts, and the Spirit knows the desires and the secrets and the needs and the wants and the hurts inside of our heart. And the Spirit knows what you need tonight, and the Spirit will anoint this word to search out your need until you rise and say, Lord, it's not you, it's not me, it's the Spirit inside of me. Lord, it's not me telling you what to do. It's you coming down. How many can admit it's not you doing it? It's the Lord doing it. See, Brother Branham admitted, I don't know, but he knows. Now watch. He said he come. He said, oh. He said, then I got to shouting and I got to praising God. He said, I went home, didn't know how to read my Bible. Said, I didn't know nothing about that songbook. He said, but I was so empty. He said, I was so light. He said, I realized it wasn't nothing I done. It was what he done. It was nothing William Branham done. It's what God done for William Branham. He said, I was shouting. Now, I want you to catch something here. Brother Branham's conversion didn't take his worship. He's telling this story some 20 years later, and he said, I so enjoyed meeting him, I'd like to do it all over again. Yes, sir. He said, see, when you're willing to admit, God, I need help. You see, remember, I'm going to go on. Can I continue on? He's going to go on and he's going to show us that there is an approach to revelation. See, the approach to revelation is not through education. The approach to revelation is through humility. Watch now. Brother said, see, before we go any further on trying to understand these seven church ages, he said, let's all do something. Now, I want you to catch what he says, let's do. He said, if you've not already given your life to him, may your heart turn to God this moment, kneel right down where you are, and ask his forgiveness for your sins, and surrender your life to him. Then we will attempt to approach the seven church ages together. He didn't even attempt to receive the revelation that had been hidden from the eyes of the wise and prudent until first he repented. Oh, come on, somebody. What would we get out of church if we would come with the spirit of repentance? Well, it may get quiet here, but that's quite all right. And what would we get out of service if we come in here and said, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lord. Forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of my failure. See, most people think they've got it all figured out. They think they've got it all. But a spirit of repentance will bring the spirit of revelation in the building. When Brother Branham said, Lord, I want to surrender to you, he said in one place, if there's 1 ounce of my being that I haven't totally given to you, Lord, take it. See, it does no good for revelation to fall on an unconverted heart. It does no good for anointing to fall on an unconverted life. Listen, friends, the channel to God is through repentance and humility. Can you say amen? The channel to God is through repentance and through humility. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. Notice, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. So he goes on to say, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Do you see? It's the mighty hand of God that does the building up. It's the mighty hand of God that does the tearing down. Can you say amen? It's the mighty hand of God that put the Titanic in the bottom of the ocean. Direct quote, the mighty hand of God put the Titanic in the bottom of the ocean. Listen, friends, but it's the same hand of God. Oh, friends, it's the same hand of God that landed the old ship of Zion safely on the other side. Do you realize why there was a different result? It's because the Titanic went by the channel of pride and by the channel of arrogance, and the result was sinking. But the ship of Zion went by the channel of humility and repentance and forgiveness and mercy and God, I need you. When's the last... Oh, don't get tight on me here. Let me preach. When's the last time we said, God, I still need you? When's the last time we got down and said, God, I can't sing without you? Has it ever crossed your mind, if it wasn't for God, you wouldn't have that gift? Come on, church. When's the last time preacher got down and said, Lord, I need you. I need you tonight. Listen, friends, somebody told, preacher told me one time, Brother Terry, they said, Brother Andrew, they said, the greatest thing you'll ever do is get a bunch of notes together and walk out there. That's what they told me. I said, brother, I walked out there before, but if he's not there, I'd rather stand there without one note in front of me like a prophet did and surrender and repent. Come on, church, surrender and repent. Brother Branham walked to the pulpit in 1949 and preached the deity of Jesus Christ without one note, without one scripture, without one thought. But he said, God, I'm going to surrender myself to you. I'm going to humble myself to you. Lord, I'm going to stagger through the scriptures until you give me something to say. And he stood there until he surrendered and preached a prefigure of Christ, the mystery of God revealed. Oh, come on, church. What could God do with one young person that's willing to repent? What could God do with one older person that's willing to humble ourselves? Yes, sir. It's the hand of God that builds up. Can you say amen? It's the hand of God that brings low. Brother Branham is in a prayer line one time. This blesses my heart. He's in a prayer line one time. He said, before we approach this prayer line, we're going to approach him through humility. He said, Lord, we stand here tonight and pray that your mercy will be granted. And now as we humble ourselves, Brother Branham wasn't a kid in this. He'd done this night after night after night after night after night, year after year after year. But he never got to a place that he felt like he could do it on his own. He always remembered, if there's going to be any results, I'm going to have to surrender and rely on you, Lord. How many can say tonight, Lord, I'm ready to surrender. Lord, I'm ready to repent. Lord, I'm ready to humble myself. I'm tired of just going to church. I'm tired of just hearing tapes. I want to see some results, Lord. Yes, sir. He never come to a place that he could do it on his own. God help us that we never come to a place that we feel like we can preach on our own. We feel like we can sing on our own. If he ever leaves us, we might as well go home. Without him, we can do nothing. But with him, all things are possible to them that'll believe him. Lord, I ask you to come. Lord, I ask you to come, that you will come on this platform, and Lord, you will prove to your people. How many can say, Lord, help me to humble myself? Do you realize you've got to humble yourself under what you're hearing to get results? You can't just hear it. You've got to humble yourself and admit what you're hearing is right. Yes, sir. He said, I'm hurrying, but I'm laying it out there, so stay with me. Someone was telling me, I believe it was a brother back there, said he was telling me the other day, said he was so proud. He was so arrogant. He said he was out there one day, said there was a man come around, said he could walk on a log. Said this pastor was telling his church, this congregational member, said, I can walk on a log. He said, Pastor, sure, the Lord is with you. He said, Pastor, or he said, sir, I can pack a log across my back, go across this log without and do it. He said, sure, the Lord is with you. He said, I can pack a log, I can wheel a wheelbarrow across it at the same time. He said, sure, Pastor, the Lord is with you. You can, your faith can do it. He said, I'll tell you what, I can put you in the wheelbarrow, I can pack the log on my back and walk across the log. He said, now wait a minute. Brother said, see, it's different when you're included in it. Listen, friends, this is not just a church where there's just to be a preacher or there's just to be a song leader, but this is a body move. Come on. Amen. It's more than just Brother Donnie pouring his heart out. It's more than just the fivefold ministry pouring their heart out. You're included in this. Come on, friends. You say, brother, brother told me one time, he said, a member of his church told someone else, said, I tell you what, said, I go to that church that man pastors. He said, I attend there. He said, that hurt my heart. He said, because that man was willing to say, oh, well, man, this may just be a plow at night. He said, that hurt my heart, Brother Andrew. He said, because I've labored for that man. He said, I prayed for that man, and the only identity he would take with me was I pastored the church he attended. Come on, friends. It's time to grow up and be real sons and daughters of God. If this message is good enough to amen, if this message is good enough to hear, it's good enough to live. Come on, church. If what your pastor preaches is good enough to make you smile, it's good enough to amen it. You say, it hurt my feelings. What about your feelings? It doesn't matter. I could care less about my feelings. I want my soul to be right by this word. How many can say, I'm not going to stand there and just say, you can do it, Brother Donnie. You can do it, Brother Harry. Preach it, Brother Terry. But I'm going to jump in there with them. I'm going to get under the load with them. I'm going to pray with them. I'm going to amen with them. Come on, somebody. I'm going to jump with them. I'm going to rejoice with them. This is my message. This is my hour. This is my season. This is my time to prepare to get out of here. God wants more than just church members. God wants some on fire believers. God wants somebody that's willing to get involved. God wants somebody that's willing to admit they're wrong. Oh, dear God. God wants somebody that's willing to admit their pastor's right sometimes. God wants somebody that's willing to admit what He put in His Bible is still yea and amen. God wants somebody that won't change what the prophet said, but will say what the prophet said. Can you say amen? God wants somebody that will approach this thing and say, Lord, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. Do you realize it's your approach? Can I go just a bit further? It's your approach. It's your approach that produces the results. Brim said one time, he said, I want to stop now and I want you to catch this. He said, will you admit there's a supernatural being here right now? He said, now, will you admit that it's not me, it's Him? You realize there was the supernatural being He was talking about was the pillar of fire. The picture of the pillar of fire. He said that picture was hanging somewhere, Brother Terry, and a Baptist preacher walked in there, looked at the picture. He approached the picture. He laughed at it. And the prophet of God said he blasphemed. He sealed his doom. He said no hope for him. Do you realize that man no doubt was a scholar in the Bible? Do you realize that man no doubt had preached many great deep sermons? But his approach to the supernatural. Oh God, I feel good right now. Hallelujah. His approach to the supernatural, it actually doomed him. Then he said, but then there was a woman who was laying on the bed one time dying with a terminal disease. She was an insignificant little woman. She walked in there. There was a picture hanging there. They said, sister, do you believe that picture? She said, I believe it with all of my heart. I believe it with all of my heart. Brother said, what happened? He said, she approached it with reverence. He said, and instantly she was healed of cancer, got up off of that bed and lived. She couldn't put the scriptures together. She couldn't make sense out of all of it. But she could just say, Lord, I believe that's you. Do you realize if you can just admit, Lord, I believe it's you. What about it in trials? Lord, I believe it's you. What about it in tests? Lord, I believe it's you. What about it when you get that bad doctor's report? Lord, all things work together for the good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. If you can see election, you can see that no matter what comes your way, you will prevail through it all. Woo! If you can see election, Brother Brad, no matter what trial, no matter what disappointment, if you can see the truth that nothing can defeat the purpose of God. Help me, somebody. Nothing can defeat the purpose of God, and the purpose of God stands in election. Can I preach for a minute? If nothing can defeat the purpose of God, then you were brought on this earth for a purpose. Come on, church. You was brought on this earth for a purpose, and nothing can defeat you until God is done with you and your purpose. Brother Branham tells us in the Church Age book, he said, the devil hates this teaching. He said, can you see why? Can you see it? Notice this. Remember, actually says the teaching of election causes emotions to rise. The teaching of election causes emotions to rise. Now, let's look at that for a minute, okay? Brother Branham said, a testimony given one time, said a man picked up a book of Brother Branham, said he read that book, come on, said he read that book, said he got done, said he closed that book, slammed it down, said another man read the same book, finished reading that book, closed it, and said, praise God, that man called me an eagle. He said, a man next to him got mad, said, what are you mad about? Said, that man called me a chicken. Do you see? Election Election. Let me just have some liberty here, okay? Man, Brother Wes, I've been in services before, and election and predestined preached so strong, I could have shouted the heels off of my shoes. Other people sat there and got mad. It causes emotions to rise. It causes emotions. It causes anger, or it causes joy. But I'll tell you what I feel like tonight. I feel like David. Blessed is the man whom thou chose, whom thou called, whom thou appointed to stand and receive the benefits that I'm receiving right now. Oh, I'll tell you what. If you don't like predestination, you go ahead and sit there and pout. But I'm just going to shout. I'm going to shout my way right out of this world by the power of election. Yes, sir. Brother Branham didn't put election in the Bible. God put election in the Bible. Brother Branham didn't put predestination in. God put predestination in there. From Genesis unto Revelation, we find it's never man seeking God. It's always God seeking man. Oh, the Spirit is a soul searcher. He'll search. He'll search. He'll search. Come on, somebody. How many can thank the Lord that He searched for you? How many's thankful that He went hunting for you? He might have had to hunt through a bar room. He might have had to hunt through false doctrine around this message. But praise God, He found you. I rejoice to know that the unapproachable God has been made approachable. The unapproachable God has been made approachable. In 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 15. Hey, it's just 8:20. Let your hair down. Come on, church. The honky-tonks ain't even got cranked up yet. There's people come to church with leaving on their mind. David, the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 15, verse 15, following up what David said, all Judah rejoiced by oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought them with their whole desire, and he was found of them. And the Lord gave them rest round about. Notice this. David is showing us that the only place of satisfaction is in the house of God. Remember, I said my satisfying portion is found in the house of God. Now, can I slow down here and let you catch something by the help of the Lord? Your approach to a sinner will change their opinion of a church. Your approach to a sinner can change their entire opinion of church. Abraham said, I got on an airplane one time. He said, I sit down by a woman. She pulled out a cigarette, lit the cigarette up, went to smoke it. He said, I stopped. I said, sister, I said, how can you smoke that? She said, well, I don't mind telling you. I smoke it because it gives me satisfaction. I said, I can't understand why a nice little lady with a personality that you've got would do a thing like that. She said, oh, I told you I get satisfaction out of it. He said, yes, but it's substitutionary satisfaction. He said, if you would just take what I tell you, it would completely turn your life around. Yes, sir. He said, you're trying to make cigarettes fill up that longing that's in your heart and give you a false satisfaction, which will soon give you cancer or degrade your body and you'll be gone. And I said, God made a person to thirst after Him. And then if they do not accept that, the devil gives them a false conception of pleasure and they try to satisfy it with the things of the world. She made about two little draws off of that cigarette. She said, I'm 22 years old. She said, my engaged boyfriend is 32. Said, he told me. She said, I've been overseas for about 3 months. He begged me to smoke no more. And she said, this is the first time I've smoked missing the plane. She said, sir, I take this promise now. She put the cigarette out. Glory to God. He said, what happened? She found something real. Oh, church, let's just preach here for a minute. What kind of change would we bring in people's lives if we would approach them with the love of God that we was approached with? Well, Brother Branham compromised. No, he didn't. People think being mean, standing for truth, and being nice is compromising. Preach, somebody. Thank you. I believe I will. Brim said, no. He said, come with the right approach and get the right result. Notice, he said, I just witnessed to her about what gave me satisfaction. He witnessed to her about what the purpose she was born for. Oh God. He witnessed to her that she was made to thirst after God. He asked her, there's something inside of you. You're thirsting for Him. The devil didn't put that thirst there. God put that thirst there. Do you see? It goes all the way back to when Jeremiah said that you were formed in the womb. And He knew you at the time of conception. Glory. Brother M said, notice this. He said, we've been called by His name. We are His people. Now I want to stop here and tell you this. When you've got the right name, you approach under the right name, you get the right results. Come on. It's astounding. Brother M preached a whole tape called Water Baptism. In that tape, let me just stop here. I don't know if Brother Bram's actually preaching. I don't know if it's a home meeting or what it is, but I listened to the other day, Brother Jim, it blessed my heart. He's sitting there talking back and forth, and there's people answering him. He's talking about Matthew 28:19, Acts 2:38. It's funny because he says, now this message is coming from two questions I was asked. That question was, why do you baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and why do you disregard Matthew 28:19? Father, Son, Holy Ghost. He said, now listen. He said, I don't disregard it. He said, but Scripture doesn't fight Scripture. Oh, I love this next part. Let me have fun. He stood there, a man with a seventh grade education, said, now this is going to be real simple. He said, but I'm going to show you something. And he laid three boxes up there. And he explained the Father. He explained the Son. He explained the Holy Ghost. He explained the baptism. And when he got done, the woman sitting there, you can hear it on tape. She said, my, Billy Graham needs to hear that. He said, don't worry, he'll hear it. Listen, friends, he was showing you that when you come under the right name, I'm coming to a close, but when you come under the right name, you'll get the right results. Come on, if you come under the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, he said, you're not going to get the right results. He's showing you something. When you approach him through the right name, when you approach him through a divine name, Brother Tony, you're going to get divine results. Tap your neighbor on the leg and say amen. Do it. Tap your neighbor on the leg and say amen. Everybody can go home tonight and say they at least said amen one time. You say, Brother Andrew, I want a witness of that. Okay, I'll give you one. Brother Andrew said, I realized I was standing in the presence of a bunch of spiritualists. He said they got so anointed, they lifted a table up off the floor. He said they had that table dancing around in the air. He said that thing was dancing all the way around me. He said it was a challenge on my Lord. He said I stood up. I looked at that table. I pointed that table. I said, okay, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost, let that table fall to the ground. He said it just danced around. He said, I turned. I said, let that table fall in the name of the Holy Catholic Church. It just danced around. He said, I said, now let that table fall in the name of the Pope. It just danced around. He's doing this for a purpose. He's doing this for a purpose. He prefaces it by saying he was baptized. Can I have some liberty here? He said they've come up with three ways of baptism. He said, but there's only one in the Scripture. He said they've come up with pouring and sprinkling. He said, but immersion is the only one that's in the Bible. Is that what he said? He said immersion is the only one in the Scriptures. He said, now watch, the Baptists immerse, but they immerse in the name of titles. See, he's showing you that you can't humble yourself and obey partially and receive the full blessing. Billy Graham was baptizing in tithes, he was partially obeying. Come on, church. Oral Roberts was partially obeying, but they were not getting the results that the Bible said would be gotten when the name of Jesus was taken on in water baptism. Maria said, I walked out there. I said, okay, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you let that table fall to the ground. He said that thing fell so fast, brother, it like to broke the legs off of it. I like that part, but I like what else he said. He said, what was I doing? He said, I thought I would exercise the power of the name I was baptized in. Oh, glory. I'll tell you what, God didn't baptize you in his name for you to sit there and be a church member and a message book quoter. He baptized you in his name, filled you with the Holy Ghost, that you would be a little Messiahette right here in the middle of Satan's Eden. There would be some sons of God, glory to God, there would be some daughters of God that would rise up and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I take every conspirit in my house under my control. In the name of Jesus Christ, I cast the demon of depression out of my home. Come on, somebody. You've been baptized in his name for a purpose with power. Yes, sir. Abraham was called through a name. I'm hurrying. Abraham was called through a name. Notice this. With that name came a promise that God was going to bless him by that name. Oh, when he was 75 years old, Sarah being 65, 10 years difference in their age, he set out professing to be strangers, professing to be pilgrims, professing we don't belong here. But he was anointed with the spirit of perseverance. I'm getting into tomorrow. He was anointed with the spirit of perseverance. It didn't matter what anybody said. He was seeking a city whose builder, whose maker was God Almighty. He said, oh, God approached Abraham. Notice this. God approached Abraham. Abraham approached God. He said, now, Lord, I don't know how it's going to happen. Could you just show me some way it's going to happen? He said, oh, there's where your little special blessing comes. You see, how's it going to happen, Lord? He doesn't tell you, but you keep on trusting till it does. Abraham set out, Brother Harry, to find that city. He never found that city, but he kept on believing. I'm going to find a city whose builder and whose maker is God. Brother, it was not that the city was not there. It was not that the city was not real, but that city was coming at a later time. And here we are. Help me, somebody. Brother Lance, here we are. The seed of Almighty God, the seed of Abraham, marching through this land, testifying, I don't belong in Laodicea. I don't belong in America. I don't belong in this world. There's a real city somewhere, and that city is named after my God. Oh, I tell you what, friends, one of these mornings, I'm going home where I belong. Yes, sir, I've been baptized in his name. I've received the Holy Ghost. I've got the seal of God in my soul. There ain't no devil now. There ain't no devil now that's going to stop me from inheriting what my daddy left me. Well, Brother Andrew, you got to wait till you get on the other side to enjoy it. Well, sit there and miss your turn, but leave me alone. Yes, sir. If somebody can talk you out of your turn, let them talk you. But brother, ain't nobody talking me out. Oh, yeah, I've been there. I remember in middle school, we played kickball every day. It got intense. And I had big old feet. And I loved my boots. More than I loved anything, I loved my boots. More than I loved being comfortable, I loved my boots. So every day we'd play kickball, and every day I'd have my boots on. Everybody go in there and change shoes, you know, and get all. I'd leave my boots on. Brother Gene, for long I built a complex, cause we'd all line up, we'd everyone get a turn to kick. We'd all line up, everybody'd kick, you know. Well, I'd always kick, you know, and I'd do real good kicking, but when it come to the running part, that's a whole other story right there. I'd be tripping and clumping and everything, you know, and it kind of embarrassed me for a while. You know what? Till one day, somebody come to me and they said, "Now listen, you're a good kicker, but let us do the running for you." I said, "Okay." So I kicked, man. Something come across me before I could even let him run. I took off running. You know what, Brother Jim? I made it to first base. I made it to second base. I made it to third base. I didn't trip till I got past home base. And I didn't even really trip then. I just slowed down. You know what? Something dawned on me. It was my turn to kick. Yeah, they may do a lot better than me, but it's my turn. Yeah, they may have a whole lot more power, but it's my turn. Come on, church. And the devil's told you that you're a failure. You'll never make this rapture. You might as well quit. Let me tell you something. How many's been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ? How many's got the Holy Ghost? I'll tell you what, quit letting the devil talk you out of your turn. It's time to kick, brother. It's time to rise. It's time to kick the devil. We've been kicking each other and kicking this and kicking that. It's time somebody realize the power of the name you're baptized under. Who will say tonight, devil, you're not taking my turn one more time? I got a father. I've got his name on me. Yes, sir. I'm going to approach him and I'm going to get divine results. You see, we are not strangers. I close with this. We are not strangers. We are family. For the whole family in heaven and earth is named. The whole family in heaven and in earth is named unto the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. So what are you saying, Brother Andrew? I'm telling you this. You've been baptized in his name. You've received his spirit. You've received his promise. It's time you start enjoying your inheritance on this side. It's your inheritance to walk on devils. It's your inheritance to have joy. It's your inheritance to shout. It's your inheritance to rejoice. It's your inheritance to have victory. It's your inheritance to receive things from the Lord. That's your inheritance. How can you say that? I've got his name. See, it's not just knowing his position. It's knowing his name. And knowing that he's your God. Can you say amen? Amen. Knowing that he's your God. You see, if I go down to the bank and say, "I need to see a bank teller. They got a check for me." I can go in there and holler bank teller all day long. And it's never going to connect me with the right person until I've got a name. Until I've got a name. And I come through that name. I come through that name. And I stand there and say, "Now I need to see John Doe or this one." And I tell you what it's time to do. It's time to stop trying to approach God through your faults and through your failures. Through your condemnation. If you've repented of your sin. How many knows when you've met God's requirements? God will meet your need. Abraham said, Abel stood there that day. He said Abel was spiritually minded by election. He said both boys went to the altar. Both boys got different results. One came through self-will, through works, but one came through humility and revelation. Humility and revelation. How many believe there's higher heights? There's deeper depths. I'll tell you what, I thank God we've got untapped resources. I thank God we've got unsearchable riches. But I also thank God that there's some people that's tapped into those resources. There's some fivefold men of God that have give their lives to dig into the unsearchable riches. And we can stand tonight like the woman in Mark chapter 7. She come to the Lord. She said, Lord, I got a need. She said, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Where it said she come, she approached him through a name. She come up and said, son of David. Where it said, she said, son of David. Where it said, he kept on walking. He said, because she had no claims on him as son of David. She was approaching him through a name, but she wasn't coming the provided approach. But Ram said, but all of a sudden, Ori, don't you just love those all of a sudden moments? Ram said, all of a sudden she turned and said, Lord, Lord. Ram said, he stopped and he turned. He said he called her a dog, but that didn't change her. He called her the worst thing. You talking about humility. He resisteth the proud. He resisteth the proud. And giveth. I know this is simple, but it's what the Lord put on my heart. He resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Giveth grace to the humble. She humbled herself to take on the lowest identity she could take on. Lord, call me a dog. But guess what? Even those dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. But Ram said she had such a faith that even God couldn't run her off. Lord said, go thy way, your daughter's made whole. The faith of a humble mother brought the healing power of Jehovah to her house. I tell you tonight, studying this today, I raised my hand before my Lord. And I said, Lord, keep me humble. Lord, keep me humble. Keep my approach humble. Keep my heart humble. How many could say tonight, Lord, keep me humble. I want to find mercy. I want to obtain mercy. I want to find grace in the time of need. Let the musicians come this evening. Brother said, see, she said, Lord, help me. Her humility caught the Lord. I know we may not be shouting, but I believe he's here tonight. She said, Lord, help me. His kingly name that she called him didn't even stop him. But her approach through humility caught the Lord. And the Lord turned. Baran preaches a message called Humble Thyself. Actually, where that story about the law come out of. Preaches a message called Humble Thyself. Can I just share something with you? I was in a service one time and a brother actually called me out and he called me to the front of the service. And he said, brother, the Lord's showing me some stuff about your life and all this stuff. I said, well, okay. I humbly, reverently walked up there. Brother, I got up there. I stood there. Now you're talking about a weird feeling. He said, brother, I tell you what I see. And said, can I just share this with you tonight? He said, I'll tell you what the Lord's showing me. The Lord's showing me there's a seed of pride in your heart. He said, you won't humble yourself. And the Lord wants to use you, but you won't humble yourself. Brother, you talking about being tore up. I was pretty tore up. I didn't say nothing. I just stood there. Brother took off running back and forth across the platform. Yay, I say unto thee. The Lord say unto thee. Yay, I say unto thee. Yay, I say unto thee. I thought, man, that guy's anointed. Power, man. Brother Jim, that tormented me for days. You talk about searching your heart. Brother Brad, I went on my knees and humbled myself before God and cried out to God. I said, Lord, I don't see it. Lord, if it's there, take it out, Lord. That devil kept pounding my mind those words over and over and over. Went to a meeting up in Virginia, and I was talking to a brother, and it kind of opened up, and I started sharing with that brother what happened. I said, brother, there was a man that called me out and told me I had a seed of pride in my heart, and the Lord wanted to take me places and use me and do things through my life, but I wouldn't humble myself and wouldn't submit myself. I said, brother, that thing has been plaguing my mind, beat me up. I'm home. I'm just sharing with my family here. I said, brother, the reason it's plaguing me is because that man was running back and forth across the pulpit hollering and screaming, and I'm anointed, and yea, I say unto thee. Message preacher. That brother said, brother Andrew, go home and listen to humble thyself. He said, I'll tell you what I see. He said, I see a spirit inside of you that's willing to serve God through humility. He said, do you believe God sent us this message to be the answer? I said, I do. He said, I believe the Lord wants you to go home and listen to humble thyself. That was several years ago when that happened. I listened to that quote again today. And brother, the Spirit of the Lord come on my heart. And Brother Bram said, now I just appreciate what our brother Vail just said. Preached a powerful message. Shared some good things. Wasn't he anointed? He said, but remember, it's not to the one that's anointed. He wasn't saying this against Brother Vail. He said, remember, it's not to the one that hollers and makes the most noise and runs. It's the anointed. He said, it's the man that's willing to humble himself before the presence of God and say, Lord, search me. Brother, it was like the Spirit of God just come right in my room. And the Lord broke that thing. And brother, it put something on my life to this day. Man, there's men of God in this message. It's anointed. Thank God for them. But we can only do what God has called us to do. And every man of God that I believe God has sent this message with a spirit of humility is perfecting this bride. You say, why did you tell us all that? Because I said it to bring you to this and I'm done. The devil loves to put things on us. And he wants to take those things and make us mad and arrogant and haughty, fighting, fussing, can't get along with nobody. But the prophet of God said, there's nothing the devil can put on you but what God won't take it off. It wasn't by getting a hold of the horns of the altar, beating the horns of the altar, humbling myself. Lord, what do you see in my life? Break it, Lord. If there's anything unlike you, break it, Lord. Break it, Lord. See, there's people carry things for years. 15, 20 years. A brother came to me in a prayer line not long ago. He said, Brother Andrew, I've been carrying a temper for 15 years. He said, I've tried to approach God through this temper over and over and over and over. He said, it ain't got me nowhere. He said, I want to humble myself. He said, I want to be... He wasn't asking to see the seventh seal. He said, I want to humble myself. Then I can admit to my family, I'm wrong. Friends, that's what this message come to do. Perfect the character of Christ in our lives. Let us stand on our feet tonight. Let the Spirit of God, whatever you've been carrying, let the Spirit of God just break it. In moments like these, in His presence, the Spirit of God can break things. Do you believe it tonight? Every time I preach about humility, I can't help but think about the publican and the Pharisee. They both went to the same temple to pray. They both was trying to approach the same God. But the Pharisee came. Lord, I've done this, and Lord, I've done that. Lord, I've done that and I've done this. They both went home, but they both went home with different results. The publican was so embarrassed that he wouldn't even come near where the Pharisee was praying. He was so humiliated. He was so embarrassed. He waited till the Pharisee got done. The publican come over there and knelt down. Lord, I don't have nothing to bring you. I just come. Hear my heart, Lord. You realize the Bible says that the publican went home justified? Well, if the publican went home justified, the Pharisee had to go home some way. So I just choose to believe the Pharisee went home dignified. God, don't ever let me get to a place that I can't receive from you because I want to hold on to my own will, my own way. Let's bow our heads together. I pray something has been said tonight to help. The Spirit of God. Wow. The Spirit of God is so real. He's so rich. He's so true. He loves. He loves to break chains, to destroy yokes, to bring His people back into His presence. The devil will put everything up on your mind. He'll put everything in your spirit. He'll try to knock your hands down. He'll try to knock your heart down. He'll try to indoctrinate you with everything you've done wrong. Brim said, a religious devil, he said, is so much worse to deal with. It covers with religion. I truly believe tonight that this message has come in this hour to search out our hearts. Search out the hidden things. I can testify tonight that the word being preached searches out things in my heart. Sometimes, brother, you don't even know they're there. But the Spirit of God begins to search and begins to hunt. And that sword begins to cut and cut and cut. Remember, I said, what is it? It's the King's sword in the hand of the believer yielding to the power of God. With every head bowed, every eye closed tonight, let the Spirit of God just, as He's coming through the building now, let the Spirit of God just search our hearts out. Maybe something was told on you, or maybe something was done to you years ago and you've carried that thing so long now. Maybe you was hurt as a child, or hurt in your life by a preacher, or hurt in your life by some church or something. You've carried that thing and carried that thing. The devil's taken that thing and he's used that to be a hindrance from God's presence in your life. Well, Brother Andrew, I'll never admit and say I was wrong, or I'll never admit and apologize. Remember, he said, if you want to receive the rain that's coming, he said, get out there and start digging them ditches out. Heard him say today, he said, if you hit a tin can and it's hard to dig, he said, labor a little bit harder and get that tin can out and keep on digging. I believe we're on the verge of the rapture. How many can say tonight, Lord, I want to dig? I want you to dig real deep in my heart, Lord. Uncover every corner. Uncover every channel. Uncover every part of my life that the rain can flow through my heart. As we approach Him now, you take your needs before His throne. Approach Him tonight through the divine approach. Lord, help me. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, dear God. Lord, we thank you for your mercies. Lord, we thank you for your grace. Lord, we thank you for your power. Lord, as I heard your prophet say today, he said, oh, I love to feel your power. I love to shout. He said, I love to rejoice. He said, but I also love those still moments in his presence. He said, Lord, take every gift from me. Take every vision, every prophecy, but just give me that love. Lord, Peter laid out the capstone. Lord, he laid out the seven virtues. Lord, he said this pyramid is going to be capped off by love. Lord, this pyramid is going to be capped off by God. For God is love. Lord, I pray tonight, dear God, Lord, that your mercies and your grace would flow through this building tonight. Lord, if there would be one individual here, Lord, that's carrying something in their heart, carrying something in their spirit. Lord Jesus, I pray that the Spirit of God would begin to breathe and begin to blow over their lives. Lord, you didn't call us to condemnation. You didn't call us to live in our past. Lord, you called us to serve you. You elected us to live for you. You blessed us to be in this presence. Lord, I want to raise my hand before you tonight, dear God. Lord, if there be one thing in my heart unlike you, Lord, if there be one chain, one stronghold, Lord, Lord, if there would be one spirit unlike you, Father, I ask you to forgive me. Lord, I don't ever want to get to a place, Lord, that I approach you like the Pharisee, that I serve you like the Pharisee. Lord, I want to stand like that publican. Lord, I don't have nothing good to bring you. But Lord, I bring you what I have. Father, I pray for every man, woman, boy and girl. Lord, young people no doubt battling Satan, Lord. Living in Satan's Eden, battling the pressures of this day. Lord, how Satan would love to take that stronghold. Lord, and so bind their lives and so bind their spirits. But Lord, let your mercy and grace break every stronghold tonight. We humble ourselves in your presence. We humble ourselves in your presence. There's nothing like your presence. Hallelujah. Can you just slip your hands up to him right now? Can we just humble our hearts in his presence? Not trying to approach him through our works, approach him through our merits, but approach him through the channel of humility. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. Brother Branham tells us one time, he said, in a prayer line, he said, I see the Spirit of God moving right now, sister. He said, I see you. He said, you're fixing to receive your healing. He said, because you're humbling yourself to receive your healing right now. Oh, friends, humility. Humility brings the blessings of God down. Brother Harry, will you sing something for us? Let's just worship the Lord right now. If you need prayer, come. We'll pray for you. But just let the Spirit of God right now search out our hearts. Let the Spirit of God right now search out every part. Do you love him tonight? Let's just worship him for a moment.
Pass me not.
Oh, yes.
Oh, gentle Savior.
Grant it, Lord.
Yes, hear my humble cry.
Do you need something from him tonight? He's passing by.
Why?
Just raise your hands to him now. Let this be your prayer tonight.
Oh, Savior.
Just let him minister to you right now. Just let him pass by in a special way. Grant it, dear Lord.
No. bless me by trusting only in thy merit. Would I see thy face?
Worship and obey.
Wherever you're at, you can touch the high priest
Jesus
right now.
Jesus, draw me close. Closer, Lord, to you. I desire to worship and obey. Oh Lord, I desire to worship and down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of His mercy and love at the feet of Jesus, we cry.
as we sing it again.